This is Audible.
Recorded Books and RB Digital present 8 Simple Rules for Dating a Dragon by Carolyn Sparks. Narrated by Jill Tanner. Prologue. In another time, on another world called Eothlan, there are 5 kingdoms. 4 of the kingdoms extend across a vast continent. For centuries, these countries have been ravaged by war. The 5th kingdom consists of 2 islands in the Great Western Ocean. These are the Isles of Moon and Mist. The island people worship the twin moons in the night sky. Several villages exist on the Isle of Moon, but there is only one inhabitant on the small Isle of Mist, the Seer. Twice a year, the two moons eclipse, or, as the people call it, embrace. Any child born when the moons embrace will be gifted with a magical power. These children are called the Embraced, and traditionally the kings on the mainland have sought to kill them. Some of the Embraced infants are sent secretly to the Isle of Moon, where they will be safe. For as long as anyone can remember, the Seer repeated his dire prediction of war, destruction, and despair. But not anymore. Now he claims a wave of change is sweeping across Eothlan, a change that will bring peace to a world that has known violence for too long. And that change is happening because of 5 young women from the 5th kingdom. The women were hidden away as infants on the Isle of Moon, and there they grew up as sisters. The oldest, Luciana, now rules over Eberron, with her husband, King Leofric. Brigitta reigns over Turin with her husband, King Ulfric, also known as the infamous pirate Rupert. 3 sisters remain, Gwenor, Sorcha, and Maeve. They know nothing of their families, nothing of their past. They only know they are embraced. Chapter 1. Gwenor was ready to scream. But if she did, others might hear and foil her escape. What could she do but continue her climb up the hillside, even though she felt as if she were falling into a dark pit? She was a storm on the verge of breaking, an overfilled wineskin about to burst, a sizzling pot threatening to boil over. "Luna and Lessa, help me!" she sent up in fervent prayer to the twin moon goddesses. Maybe she should learn to curse like her sister Sorcha. But the ever-rational part of Gwenor's brain reminded her that it was more sensible to do what she always did, remain calm. Eviana was beside her, and it would be a shame to expose an innocent child to foul language. The little girl was only 3 years old. Today.
"Gwenny,"
Eviana tugged on her hand.
"What's wrong?"
Gwenor forced a smile.
"Nothing. Everything is perfectly fine."
Eviana scrunched up her little nose with a dubious look. The child was far too insightful, Gwenor thought, even though it was one of the things she loved about the little girl.
"Shall we rest a moment to catch our breath?"
When Eviana nodded, Gwenor glanced down the hill at the encampment along the Norva River. Tonight was the spring embrace, when the two moons would align in the sky, and that meant a number of Gwenor's family and friends would be celebrating their birthdays. Her oldest adopted sister, Luciana, now the Queen of Eberron, would be 23, and her twins, Eric and Eviana, were turning 3. Sorcha, just 6 months younger than Gwenor, would be 21. The King of Turin was turning 29. Ulfric was his real name, but his wife Brigitta still preferred to call him Rupert. And there were even more reasons to celebrate. Brigitta and Ulfric had brought their little boy, Rainfrid, for everyone to see. The general of the Turinian army, Stefan Landers, and his wife Lady Fallon, had travelled with them. Gwenor had been delighted to see the former nun again and meet her adorable 2-year-old daughter. And more babies were on the way, since Luciana, Brigitta, and Fallon were all expecting. With so much to be thankful for, Luciana and Brigitte had teamed up to plan a huge party on the banks of the Norva River, which served as the border for their two countries. On the northern side of the river in the country of Turin, there had to be at least 50 tents set up. On the southern bank of the Norva, the Eberoni had erected even more tents. On both sides of the river, meat was being roasted over large pits, and food was being prepared. People bustled back and forth over the bridge, a comforting reminder of the peaceful and relaxed relationship between the two countries. After all, the two queens, Luciana and Brigitte, considered themselves sisters. Unfortunately, those same two women were competing with each other to see who could arrange marriages for the three remaining sisters. It was ridiculous. Gwenor was happy for Luciana and Brigitte, truly she was. But just because they were happily married, that didn't mean it could happen for her. For the last few years, Gwenor's level of frustration had been slowly escalating. How could she tell her older sisters that they were wasting their time and money giving her beautiful gowns? The noblemen at the Eberoni and Turinian courts wanted nothing to do with her. No matter how well she was dressed, she was still an elf. She doubted her sisters would ever understand, for they had always considered her as one of them. The five young women had grown up at the convent, surrounded by love. So it had come as a hard blow when Gwenor had realized that people on the mainland saw her differently. All the love and acceptance to which she was accustomed was gone. To the people of Eberron and Turin, she didn't belong. With her white blonde hair, lavender blue eyes, and pointed ears, it was obvious she hailed from the elfin kingdom of Woodwin. But for some unknown reason, the elves there had rejected Gwenor and sent her as a babe to the Isle of Moon. She had no memory of Woodwin and no recollection of ever meeting another elf. What little she knew about them and their language had been learned in the convent when she transcribed a few of their books. She felt sure she would never fit in there. Just as she could never feel at home in the countries of Eberron or Turin. The only place she had felt truly comfortable was the convent on the Isle of Moon. But that had changed after Luciana had given birth. Gwenor had found two sanctuaries at Ebton Palace, the vast library where she could hide in a curtained-off window seat and escape with a good book, and the nursery, where there was no need to hide or escape. There she was free to be herself. The twins had grown up with Gwenor, loving her just as her adopted sisters had at the convent. It was Eviana, though, with whom Gwenor felt a special bond. From the moment the little girl was born, Gwenor had been drawn to her. She loved her with a maternal fierceness that gave her enough joy that she remained at the palace in spite of the prejudice she encountered from other courtiers. The main problem, as far as she could see, was that no one understood the elves. They attacked Eberron to the west and Noveshka to the north, streaming across the borders to kill and maim, then retreating without bothering to claim any plunder or land. Since they didn't seem to want anything, other than the pleasure of killing a few people, they had a reputation of being cold-hearted and vicious. So what man in his right mind would want to marry Gwenor? The fact that she'd been raised in a convent to abhor violence didn't seem to matter, nor the fact that she prided herself on her ability to remain calm and rational. She was intelligent enough to converse in all four mainland languages, yet she was still regarded as some sort of violent creature that might go on a killing spree at the drop of a hat. A month ago, Luciana had planned an elaborate ball at Ebton Palace. Noblemen had flocked around Sorcha and Maeve, as well they should, since they were both beautiful young women. Usually at these events, the only men willing to dance with Gwenor were Luciana's friends, Brody, and the newly promoted Colonel Nevis Harden. But Nevis was usually away with the army, and Brody was a shifter, who could take human form for only 2 hours a day. Gwenore and her younger sisters had been shocked when Luciana had revealed the truth about Brody. But now Gwenore was accustomed to seeing him in his usual guise, as a furry black-and-white dog. At this particular ball, Luciana had invited 2 young earls, with the hope that they would fall for her sisters. The 2 earls had found Gwenore half-hidden behind a column, and after looking her over they had smirked and talked to each other as if she weren't there. "Maybe she's part fox," one had muttered. "Could be why she has those pointed ears." The 2nd earl nodded. "I wonder if she's hiding a tail beneath her skirts." The 1st one snorted. "Who on Earthland would be willing to find out?" "Maybe the seer would have a go at her," his companion replied. "I hear the old man is blind, and he's lived alone for decades. He must be desperate." The 1st earl snickered as he looked Gwenore over once again. "No one could be that desperate." Gwenore's cheeks had flared hot. "Leave me be, or I'll tell the king and queen how rude ye are." They had looked worried for a few seconds before the 1st one lifted his chin in defiance. "The king needs the support of us nobles. He doesn't need the likes of you." And with that, the 2 had sauntered off to enjoy the ball. "Shall I clobber them for you?" Brody whispered as he came around the column. He had heard. Gwenore's face burned even hotter. Of course he had heard. As a spy, Brody was accustomed to eavesdropping on private conversations. "Come on, let me punch them," Brody growled. "They deserve it." Gwenore shook her head. "Luciana has worked too hard to make this ball a success. I don't want to ruin it with a brawl." Brody frowned. "She needs to know that she's matchmaking with a pair of assholes." "I'll warn Sorcher and Maeve," Gwenore whispered. "That would be enough. I don't want to cause any more political problems for Luciana and Leo." They were still having enough trouble with a traitorous group of disgruntled priests led by Lord Morris. Brody scowled at the 2 earls. "As soon as I shift, I'm going to bite them." He gave Gwenore a wry look. "And no one can stop me because I'm a naughty doggy who never passed obedience training." That had made her smile. "That's more like it." Brody smiled back as he leaned against the column. "Did you want to dance again?" "Ye've already done your duty with me and Sorcher. Ye should dance with Maeve now." His smile turned into a grimace. "No, hell no. Not as long as she persists in calling me Julia." Gwenore's laugh abruptly ended when she spotted one of the earls talking to Maeve. "Oh dear." A growl sounded low in Brody's throat. "Are ye planning to shift now?" Gwenore whispered. "Considering it," Brody muttered. "I can either stay human and insist she dance with me, or become a dog and bite the bastard." "Or ye could become a dog and dance with 2 left feet, Gwenore teased him. Brody snorted. "I can do that while still human." He strode toward the Earl and Maeve, and Gwenore had waited to make sure her youngest sister was safe before escaping back to the nursery. But now that she was here on the Norva River, there was no library or nursery where she could hide. Her hope of enjoying the celebration surrounded by only family and friends was gone, for Luciana and Brigitte had both invited a number of single noblemen. And just a few minutes ago, the infamous 2 earls had shown up. "I can't stand it any more," Gwenore whispered as tears filled her eyes. If she had to endure 1 more man eyeing her like she was some sort of loathsome insect, she might explode like a screeching demon from hell. The only solution to her problem, as far as she could tell, would be to return to the convent of the 2 moons. Mother Janessa and the nuns would welcome her. She would be loved there. But then she would have to go for months without seeing her adopted sisters or this little girl she loved so much.
I can't stand too.
Eviana lifted her chubby arms in the air, her signal that she wanted to be held. With a smile, Gwenor picked her up. With the little girl's arms wrapped around her neck, she closed her eyes to keep the tears from flowing. This was why she stayed. But as much as she cherished moments like this that made her heart swell with love, she was always aware of an underlying twinge of heartache. For she had no doubt that this was as close as she would ever get to motherhood. How could she give this up? No, she would stay at Ebtom Palace to be with the twins. And when Luciana gave birth in 3 months, Gwenor would be there to help with the newborn. 20 months ago, she'd gone to Lordaeron to help Brigitte with her baby boy. This was her life. Always the helpful one, moving silently like a ghost through the shadows of the royal palace, and only coming to life in the nursery. Or her own imagination. For she still dreamed of a world where she could shine. It would be a beautiful world, filled with wonder and excitement. And a tall and handsome stranger would love her for who she was.
When do we see the flowers?
Eviana's question pulled her back to the real world. A world where she was using a flower-picking expedition to evade scornful glances and crude insults. Gwenor sighed. Why waste her time wishing for the impossible? This was reality, and she could accept it and make the most of it.
We'll see the flowers soon. There's a whole field of them on top of the hill.
She shifted the little girl onto her left hip, then held up her long silk skirt with her right hand to climb the last remaining steps.
I spotted them from the carriage window when we were arriving yesterday. I can give some to Mama.
Gwenor nodded. She'll think it's the best birthday present ever. Eviana grinned.
Ewick won't have flowers for her.
Maybe we should pick some for him, too.
Eviana scrunched up her little nose.
He poked me.
Did he tell him to stop?
She shook her head.
I poked him back.
Gwenor snorted.
Do ye have a present for your brother? 'Tis his birthday, too, ye know.
Eviana bit her lip while she considered, and the movement made her look so much like her mother that Gwenor smiled. The little girl had her mother's black curly hair, but her green eyes had come from her father.
I don't think Ewick wants flowers,
Eviana mumbled.
Ye make a good point, Gwenor said. We'll have to find something more suitable for a boy. Maybe a walking stick from the forest, or a pretty rock from the river bank.
A big rock.
Eviana stretched her arms wide.
All right.
Gwenor took a deep breath as she reached the top of the hill. The winter snow had melted over a month ago, and now the afternoon sun shone on a carpet of bright green grass, dotted with flowers of yellow, orange, and purple.
Well, what do ye think?
Eviana gasped.
It's beautiful.
She squirmed to be let down, then rushed about plucking flowers. Gwenor watched her for a moment, then glanced back toward the encampment by the river. Kegs of beer and wine had already been opened, and the sound of laughter blew toward her on a breeze. She spotted the two kings, Leofric and Ulfred, trying to teach their sons, Eric and Rainfrid, how to skip stones across the river. Her adopted sisters were busy overseeing the cooking. Luciana spotted her with Eviana and waved. Gwenor waved back, then settled on a grassy spot to watch the little girl. A shadow moved across the ground, and she glanced up at the cloudless sky. A large bird was flying high overhead. Her eyes narrowed. An extremely large bird. Was it Brody in eagle form watching over them? She looked down at the camp and spotted Brody as a dog, following the two nasty earls and nipping at their heels. She glanced back at the bird, but it was too far away, and the sun was too bright for her to see clearly. Surely it couldn't be the chameleon. No one knew the mysterious shifter's real name or what he even looked like. But since he apparently had the ability to change into any animal or human, Brody had dubbed him the chameleon. After causing so much trouble 3 years ago, the villainous chameleon had disappeared. Brody had searched high and low for him, to no avail.
"Look, Gwenny!"
Eviana ran toward her with a big bunch of flowers in her hand.
"Aren't they pretty?" "Oh, they're lovely."
Gwenor pulled the blue ribbon from the end of her braided ponytail and used it to tie the bouquet together.
"There, perfect. I think you should pick some flowers for Aunt Sorcha. 'Tis her birthday, too." "All right."
Eviana bounced away. Gwenor lifted her face to the warm sun, closed her eyes and took a deep breath. Life was good, she reminded herself. Two of her sisters had become queens, and now the countries of Eberron and Turin were at peace. The seer had predicted even more peace, so Mother Janessa had finally relented and allowed Gwenor and her younger sisters to leave the Isle of Moon and live on the mainland. The other two countries, Norveshka and Woodwin, still caused trouble every now and then, but they seemed far away now. A screech echoed in the distance, and she opened her eyes. That hadn't sounded like an eagle. Whatever it was, way up high in the sky, it seemed to be circling. An ominous feeling crept under her skin, and suddenly she recalled the way Luciana had looked last night when Maeve had suggested they play the game of stones.
"We're all together again," Maeve had said, when Brigitte had joined them. "We should bring out the telling stones, so ye can predict our futures."
Luciana had grown pale.
"I'm too weary from travel. Perhaps another time."
Gwenor hadn't missed the worried glance Luciana had exchanged with Brigitte. They'd looked the same way almost 3 years ago, when Luciana had selected a handful of telling stones to predict Gwenor's future. Luciana had completely avoided playing the game since then, and Gwenor couldn't help but feel that her oldest sister had seen something that had frightened her. Green, brown, and the number 3. Those were the pebbles Luciana had picked for Gwenor. To Maeve and Sorcha, the interpretation had been obvious. The colours signified the country of Woodwin, since the elfin flag pictured a tall green tree growing from brown earth. But Luciana was the one with the gift of foresight, and she had declined to agree with them. She'd also failed to explain the number 3, even though Sorcha had claimed it meant Gwenor would meet a tall and handsome stranger in 3 months. That hadn't happened, of course. Not that Gwenor had expected it. With her rational mind, she preferred to believe that people were responsible for making their own future. Still, she had to wonder what the 3 meant. 3. Today, Eric and Eviana were turning 3. Gwenor glanced at the camp as the feeling of foreboding grew more intense. Was whatever Luciana feared going to happen today?
"Gwenny!"
Eviana wrenched her out of her thoughts by shoving a plant in her face.
"Look at the funny flower!"
"Oh, I know this."
Gwenor set aside Luciana's bouquet of flowers to take the new plant. Instead of flower petals, it was topped with a sphere of white fluff.
is called a puffball. We grow them at the convent because we can use the leaves to make medicine.
Eviana wrinkled her nose as she studied it.
I've never seen one before.
That's because the gardeners at Epton Palace consider it a weed and pull it out.
Why?
Eviana pushed out her bottom lip.
Why is it bad? I think it's pretty.
Gwenor sighed, feeling a sudden kinship to the plant that wasn't welcome in most gardens. There's a saying that if you make a wish afore blowing on the puffball, then your wish will come true.
Really?
Eviana's eyes lit up. Gwenor nodded. As she gazed at the ball of white fluff, she thought about wishing for that magical world where the tall and handsome stranger was waiting for her. But what were the chances of that actually happening? It made more sense to wish for something that could possibly come true. A long and happy life for Eviana and Eric.
I'm ready,
the little girl announced.
Me too.
Gwenor took a big breath and started to gently blow. Eviana huffed and puffed, spitting more than blowing, then giggled as white florets detached from the flower head and floated away on a breeze.
We did it,
she danced about.
Guess what I wished for?
Ye shouldn't say, or it won't come.
I wished you not be sad.
Gwenor stiffened. Good goddesses, was she so obvious that even a 3-year-old could tell?
Ye think I'm sad?
Eviana nodded.
'Cause we get presents and you don't, but I'll give you some flowers too.
Gwenor smiled. That's very sweet of you, but you needn't worry. My birthday will happen in the fall at the Autumn Embrace. I have the same birthday as your papa. And Brigitte, Maeve and Brodie.
Really?
Yes, really. Eviana clapped her hands together.
Then we can have another party.
Gwenor nodded. Now, let's get some flowers for Sorcha so we can head back to camp.
All right.
Eviana skipped away, stopping every now and then to pluck a flower. A large shadow swept over them, and Gwenor glanced up.
Good goddesses.
Her heart lurched. Dragon. She scrambled to her feet. What was a Norveshki dragon doing here? Was that what had been circling them? Why would it be interested in her? Not me. Icy cold terror crept into Gwenor's bones, freezing her for a few seconds. Eviana. Dragons were known for kidnapping small children. With a shriek, the dragon swooshed down. Fire burst from its mouth and hit the ground, creating a wall of fire between the hill and the encampment. Heavenly goddesses, it was cutting them off.
Eviana!
Gwenor dashed toward the little girl. She would grab her and run for the nearby forest. There the larger trees could shelter them from the dragon's view. Eviana's eyes grew wide with terror, and the flowers tumbled from her hand. She turned and ran, away from the forest.
Nay!
Gwenor struggled to catch up with her. The dragon swooped down. Gwenor heard the beating of its wings and its breath huffing just above her head. She reached out a hand to grab Eviana, but the dragon shoved her with its powerful back legs, flattening her face down on the ground. She barely caught her breath before she saw the talons of the dragon's forelegs curling around Eviana. With a squeal, the little girl squirmed.
Eviana!
Gwenor scooted forward on her elbows while the dragon hovered a few inches above her. She seized its talons and attempted to pull them back. But they only tightened, digging into Eviana's skin till beads of blood blossomed on the girl's white dress.
Stop it!
Gwenor cried.
You're hurting her!
Whoosh! Whoosh! The air around them stirred as the dragon beat its long, black wings. It was going to take off. Gwenor frantically yanked at its talons, but it enveloped the little girl in its forelegs and pulled her tight against its smooth chest. A bolt of lightning struck the ground just as the dragon rose in the air. Leo was attacking. The ground beneath Gwenor trembled from the impact, and a booming noise deafened her ears. The dragon rose high enough for her to gain her footing. A sudden blast of wind shoved the dragon to the side, causing it to collide with her and knock her back down. That had to be Brigitte's husband, using his wind power to attack. As the dragon struggled to regain its equilibrium, she scrambled to her feet and grasped one of the creature's forelegs to try to keep it from flying away. If the two kings succeeded in frightening the dragon enough that it released Eviana, she would fall, and it would be dangerous for her to fall more than a few feet. A second lightning strike ripped past them, then another one, dangerously close to the dragon's head. The air sizzled with energy, buzzing in Gwenor's ears. With a screech, the dragon shot up into the air. Gwenor gasped as she was pulled off the ground. Her arms strained, and panic threatened to overwhelm her. Should she let go? No, she couldn't leave Eviana alone. Higher and higher the dragon rose. The people below grew smaller, their screams more distant. The Norva River was now a blue ribbon, winding through a miniature forest. Luna and Lessa, help her. If she lost her grip, she would plummet to her death. Another bolt of lightning streaked past them, and she cringed. Poor Leo. He had to be frantic, but what could he do? If he hit the dragon directly, the shock would kill his daughter. And if Ulfred used his wind power to make the dragon crash into the ground, Eviana would die.
Gwenny!
Eviana whimpered.
I'm here.
Gwenor's arms burned. How long would her strength last? How long could she hold on with this fierce grip before her hands began to cramp? Don't think about it. She hissed in a breath between clenched teeth. She had no choice. Letting go would mean death. Letting go would leave Eviana unprotected.
I won't leave you.
A squawk sounded in the distance, and she spotted an eagle following them. Brody.
Thank you.
She wasn't alone. But could she hold on all the way to Noveshka? If only there was a way to reason. Of course. If the dragons worked for the Norveshki army, then that meant they were able to follow orders. They had to understand the Norveshki language.
Can you hear me? She yelled in Norveshki. You must return us immediately.
No answer. But then how could a dragon reply? She raised her voice.
You have kidnapped a princess. She's the daughter of the King and Queen of Eberron, and the niece of the Queen of Turin. Those countries will declare war on Noveshka. They will attack you.
The dragon made an angry huffing noise.
Return us now, Gwenor screamed. Return us or hundreds of Noveshki will die. Take us back now.
Do as she says, brother. Gwenor flinched as a deep male voice reverberated in her head. Who? What was that?
No,
another male voice answered. She gasped. There were voices in her head, and they were arguing. Goddesses help her, she had to be losing her mind. She twisted in the air, looking around. Another dragon. It was coming from Noveshka and flying straight toward them.
Is it true what the woman says?
The deeper voice asked. Have you taken a princess?
The queen needs a princess,
the other one replied. She was hearing the dragons, Gwenor realized with a shock. The voices were speaking Norveshki, and there was no one else around other than Brody, who was far behind.
"This is a mistake, brother. You must return the child," the deeper voice insisted.
That had to be the newcomer.
"He's right," Gwenor yelled. "It's a terrible mistake. Take us back now."
Silence. Was it just her imagination, or had she felt the muscles in the dragon's foreleg flinch? The dragon that was carrying her and Eviana had grown tense.
"She heard us," he hissed. "The damned elf can hear us."
"Stay calm," the newcomer urged him. "No." The dragon shot straight up into the sky. Gwenor cried out, struggling to keep her grip. The wind buffeted against her, threatening to tear her loose. Good goddesses, the dragon was trying to kill her.
"Gwenny,"
Eviana whimpered. "I'm here." Tears stung Gwenor's eyes as the ache in her shoulders and hands became more agonizing. The dragon went into a series of rolls. As Gwenor was tossed about, one of her hands slipped loose.
"No! Luna and Lessa, help me!"
The dragon used his back legs to kick her loose. Down. Down. She was falling.
"Dear goddesses, am I going to die?"
The wind rushed past her ears, mingling with the little girl's screams.
"Eviana, I wanted to protect you."
Something dark blocked her vision, then bam! She struck something so hard it knocked the breath out of her. Stunned, she was unable to think for a moment. Then with a rush, her mind raced. She was still alive. Black, leathery legs held her suspended in the air. The other dragon had caught her. He'd saved her life. Thank the goddesses.
But why? Why would a dragon save her? What did he want with her?
She lifted her gaze to his smooth grey chest, then higher to his long neck, covered with black scales. His head was frightening. Black horns sprouted from the thick, knotted ridge across his brow. His long snout ended with flaring nostrils, and his jaw looked strong enough to crush bones.
Whoosh! Whoosh!
The air around her billowed as the dragon beat his leathery wings and rose higher in the sky. Where was he taking her? What if he decided to drop her? She wrapped her arms around his foreleg.
Be still.
He bent his long neck, angling his head downward so he could study her with gleaming gold eyes.
I have you.
Chapter 2. Gwenor did grow still. The way the dragon was staring at her was so fierce, she wondered if he could stop his prey from escaping by simply locking his sights on him. Power. Strength. Those qualities were to be expected with a ferocious creature like this. But she sensed more than that. A high level of intelligence, and a feeling that he saw more than she wanted him to. Once again, she was being examined as if she were a strange species of insect. Earlier, she had decided to unleash her rage on the next male who did that, but her tirade would have to wait. It would be foolish to verbally assault a fire-breathing dragon, especially one that could kill her by simply dropping her.
"Are you all right?"
The dragon's voice slipped into her mind like a lullaby. How could he look so strong, yet sound so gentle?
"Were you harmed in any way?"
She shook her head.
"How is it you are able to hear me? Do other elves have this ability?"
I don't know.
Was that why he had saved her life? because he was curious about a strange ability she possessed? Did that mean he would have let her die if she couldn't hear him? Did he believe that was the only thing that made her worthy of being saved? Damn it. She allowed herself to curse. Why not, when she was in the middle of a nightmare, completely at the mercy of a frightful dragon? She glanced back at him and discovered he was still staring at her. Blast him.
You should watch where you are going, she fussed at him. You could run into a tree or a mountain.
As the dragon looked away, she had a bizarre feeling that he was amused. Stop imagining things. If she was going to survive and protect Eviana, she needed to face reality. It seemed fairly certain that they were on their way to Noveshka. The first dragon was still holding Eviana in his clutches. Her dragon, she didn't know what else to call him, but he was definitely not hers, seemed to be focused now on catching up with the first. While her dragon increased his speed, strong winds buffeted against her, causing her ears to ache. Her hair unraveled from its braid, and tendrils whisked across her face. Cold air shot through her thin silk gown, chilling her to the bone. So cold. How high were they? She ventured a look down. Good goddesses! She squeezed her arms around her dragon's foreleg. They were so high, the trees appeared no bigger than ants. Don't look down. She quickly shifted her gaze to the first dragon and wondered how Eviana was doing. Was she freezing to death? Would she be traumatized for the rest of her life? And how was Brody? She leaned to one side, then the other, trying to catch a glimpse of him in eagle form, but the dragon's chest was too wide for a clear view. Stop squirming. The shifter is still behind us. Her breath caught. The dragon knew about Brody.
He's a friend. Please do not hurt him.
The dragon made no reply, but snorted a puff of hot air from his nostrils. She'd annoyed him. Not a smart thing to do when he could drop her. She cleared her throat.
I suppose I should thank you.
I suppose you should. His wry tone pricked at her. Did he think her manners were lacking? That was rich when dragons went around kidnapping small children. Another puff of hot air. And I should apologize for my brother's actions. I will make sure the child is safely returned.
Thank you.
Praise the goddesses. She could only hope and pray that this dragon would be trustworthy. So far, he seemed somewhat civilized. She'd always thought of dragons as frightening, destructive creatures that burn down villages and terrorize the innocent. And the rumors about them were even more horrendous. Some people claimed the dragons stole children so they could feast on them. The dragon's talons suddenly flinched. She winced as the sharp points dug into her skin.
Too tight.
Sorry. His talons retracted a bit. Crosswind. The wind seemed the same to her. A terrible thought jumped into her mind. Had he heard what she was thinking? She was hearing him, so what if it worked both ways? Oh, dear goddesses, no. Her heart raced. Nay, it couldn't be true. That would be too horrendous. But wait. If the dragon only knew Noveshki, all she had to do was keep thinking in Eberoni. That would keep her thoughts private, wouldn't it? But how could she tell for sure? Maybe she should mentally call him a rude name like a filthy bastard to see if he reacted. No, bad idea. If she made him angry, he might drop her. Oh, no. What if he understood all that? She tightened her grip on his foreleg. Stop thinking about him. Once again, she sensed amusement. Damn it. There was no way she could stop herself from thinking, and she had to stay mentally alert if she was going to protect Eviana. "Your name is Gwenny?" He must have heard Eviana screaming her name. "My name is Gwenor, and the little girl is Eviana."
Gwenor.
A shiver ran along her skin. A dragon shouldn't have such an appealing voice. She winced. Had he heard that? She glanced toward his head. She'd been wrong, thinking all his scales were black. When the sun shone on him, his scales glistened an iridescent purple and green. It reminded her of a black pearl she'd once found in an oyster shell. She'd thought it was so beautiful she'd kept it in her small treasure box, along with a few gifts her sisters had given her. Dear goddesses, would she ever see them again? You will, she promised herself, for she had to make sure Eviana was returned to her parents. Would this dragon keep his word and help her? If he didn't, how on Earthland would she manage to get Eviana home? Anxiety threatened to consume her, so she tried to calm herself by mentally picturing her small treasure box and the gifts inside. An embroidered handkerchief from Luciana, a short story from Brigitte, a pretty shell from Maeve, and a small drawing of her from Sorcha. The dragon's talons suddenly tightened, jerking her back to the grim reality around her. She eyed the creature warily. Did she dare trust him? Brigitte had told her sisters about her encounter with dragons, and she'd called them magnificent. She claimed that they had helped her husband take back his throne. But what about all the children who had been kidnapped? Were some dragons bad and others good? Was this a good one? Gwenor had to hope so. Her and Eviana's lives might depend on it. Do you have a name?
Yes.
She waited, but there was nothing more, only that same feeling of amusement she kept getting. Was he playing with her? Blast him. If you won't tell me, I'll be forced to name you myself.
Oh, I'm afraid.
You should be. I could name you Puff. He snorted, and more hot air escaped his nostrils. Was that a huff? She smiled to herself. Or a puff?
I could drop you.
She squeezed his leg, pressing her face against the leathery skin. It was surprisingly soft.
But I won't.
Oh, he was definitely playing with her. She was tempted to hit him. Tell me, Puff. Why did you bother to save me if you won't even introduce yourself to me?
I took pity on the trees. Your fall would have torn off some branches.
She slapped his leg. That's not funny. Did you just hit me after I saved you? She winced. It was a friendly pat. Did I mention how grateful I am that you rescued me? It would be a shame to harm any of the trees, don't you think? A low grumbling sound reverberated through her mind. Was that a dragon chuckle? It had a very pleasant and soothing effect, even though she ought to be peeved that he found her so entertaining.
I could take you back to your friends, but I'm assuming you wish to remain with the little girl.
That is correct. I must stay with Eviana. There was a moment of silence before he replied.
She is not your child. Why did you risk your life for her?
Her mother, Luciana, is like a sister to me. Gwenor didn't want to mention that Eviana was probably as close as she would ever have to a daughter of her own. But then an alarming thought struck her. If she hadn't run away to avoid those two nasty earls, if she hadn't taken Eviana with her, then the little girl wouldn't be in so much danger right now. Tears stung her eyes.
This is my fault.
No, it is my brother who took her.
I gave him the opportunity.
Damn it, she should have been stronger. She should have slapped those earls and stood up for herself. By acting like a victim, she'd allowed herself to become one, and poor Eviana was paying the price for it. Guilt wrenched at her heart. How could she let strangers insult her and strip away her humanity? They didn't know who she really was. But she should know her own worth. Her sisters knew her worth. Even Eviana knew. She blinked away her tears.
I will not leave Eviana's side. I will do whatever I must to protect her.
There was a pause that stretched out for so long she thought the dragon had forgotten about her. But then a soft whisper wafted across her mind, so gentle she wasn't sure she'd actually heard it. Loyal and brave. The dragon's forelegs curled around her like arms, drawing her close to his smooth grey chest.
What are you doing?
She found her cheek pressed against the soft leather of his chest. Keeping you warm. His voice was once again loud and clear. You were cold. She did feel warmer and more safe. With a glimmer of reassurance, she realized Eviana was being held like this too, so she should be surviving the trip without freezing. But how strange that a dragon not only had saved her life, but was concerned for her comfort. And how tempting it was to use her special power to find out more about him. As one of the embraced, Gwenor had been born with an ability that was close to a perfect fit for her. With her ever-rational and inquisitive mind, she liked to figure out problems and fix them. Using her gift, she could touch a person and then determine if they were healthy, and if not, she could see in her mind's eye what the problem was. But it was not quite a perfect gift, because knowing what a problem was didn't mean she automatically knew how to fix it. Luckily for Gwenor, there had been a nun at the convent, Sister Colleen, who was renowned for her knowledge of the healing arts. Sister Colleen had spent many hours teaching Gwenor so she could put her gift to good use. There were certain areas of a human body that would give Gwenor the best reading of a person's health. She could press her fingers on the neck, beneath an ear, or place her palm against a brow, or the method she favored the most, wrapping her hand around a wrist and pressing her fingertips against the pulse. Would her gift work on a dragon? She was eager to know. Closing her eyes, she pressed the palm of her hand against his chest. The warmth of his skin melded with her hand, and soon she could feel beyond the skin to the rushing of blood through his body and the steady beat of his heart. It was a powerful beat, much stronger than she'd ever felt from a human. What are you doing? She jerked her hand back as her eyes flew open.
Nothing.
Had he felt her reading him? You should rest for now. We have a long way to go.
As you wish.
She burrowed her hands into the folds of her skirt and rested her cheek against his warm skin. After a while, she lost all sense of time. Her world closed in till it was only her, cradled in a soft, leathery cocoon, resting against the comforting warmth of the dragon's chest and hearing the steady beat of his wings. When everything around her suddenly turned white, she realized they were traveling through a cloud. She held out a hand, and the cool white vapor sifted through her splayed fingers. Amazing. She smiled to herself. She was inside a cloud. Fluffy wisps blew past her, feathering her cheeks as the dragon descended. Then suddenly they were surrounded by a beautiful, clear blue. She ventured a look down and wasn't frightened this time, for she was being held so close. The view was stunning. Mountain peaks blanketed with snow. Mountainsides thick with forest. Wide valleys of green pastures, bursts of colour from clumps of wild flowers, rivers rushing and foaming, flooded with snowmelt. Every now and then a deadly spot of scorched earth, where hot steam ascended from geysers and cones of white ash. Norveshka, a land of extremes, where the highest mountains on Earthlan stood sentinel over the deepest valleys, where cool green meadows collided with patches of hot, barren crust, where people lived among dragons. Fascinated, Gwenor watched the land pass by beneath her. The dragon swooped down, giving her a view of a lovely waterfall crowned with a rainbow. Down in the valley, a young boy was herding goats. He glanced up and waved. Farther along the valley, she spotted a village. Brown log cabins were topped with green grassy roofs. Window boxes overflowed with bright red flowers. Several people looked up and waved. "They have no fear of you." "Why would they? We protect them." "But why do you kidnap children?" She heard something like a hiss. "I don't." "Why did your brother take Eviana?" There was a long pause. "It's complicated." "I have time." "We're close to Dreshka now." She recalled the geography she'd learned at the convent. The village of Dreshka spanned the Norva River, only a mile south of Norva Lake. "That is the capital?" "Yes. Most probably my brother will deposit the child in the garden of Draven Castle. It has a flat space that is large enough for us to land. I will leave you there."
"Leave? But you said you would return us."
"As soon as it can be arranged. Trust me." Could she really trust a dragon? He tilted to the left, heading north to follow a rushing river as it cut through a deep canyon. After a while, the canyon opened up to a wide valley. White, fluffy sheep dotted the green meadows, along with wildflowers of purple and yellow. In the distance, she saw Draven Castle perched on a mountain. It was magnificent. White limestone gleamed in the afternoon sun. The numerous towers and turrets were topped with differently shaped spires of greenish copper. As they grew closer, Gwenor spotted the village that straddled the river. Dreshka. The community looked idyllic with all the grassy roofs and window boxes overflowing with flowers. A few stone bridges arched over the Norva River. The castle presided over the village, its thick walls rising from the grey granite of the nearby mountain. The dragon veered to the right, headed to the south side of the castle. She spotted a long, flat lawn surrounded by flower beds and fruit trees. As they approached, she saw the first dragon set Eviana on the grass, then fly off, slowly gaining altitude so he could clear the nearby forest. Eviana remained huddled on the ground, her white dress stirring slightly in the breeze caused by the beating of the dragon's wings. "I will drop you close to her."
"Thank you."
Gwenor felt a twinge of reluctance to part with her dragon. For the time being, he was the only ally she had in Norveshka.
"Will I see you again?"
He glided down toward the lawn. "I'll send the general to you."
"General? Will he take us back to Eberron?"
The dragon's forelegs opened and she rolled forward, falling a foot onto the ground. "Umph!" She lifted herself up on her elbows in time to see him soar past her.
"Puff!"
"I am never far away." He circled around the castle, disappearing from her view. "Gwenor." His last word floated through her mind like a soft whisper. She slowly rose to her feet. Eviana was some 20 yards away, not moving.
Eviana!
She ran to the little girl, who raised her head and